I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Finish your yules and rewrite the rules, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. We're back. Woo! Everyone's had a nice Christmas, haven't they?
I fucking have.
There's one who has, and that name is Pete Donaldson.
And a happy new year. Woo!
Agreed. My name's Marcus, and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's also here.
Give me one good reason why I should ever make a change.
The voice.
All right.
Luke, health. The voice more. Everybody all good form? Everyone had a nice Christmas?
Yeah.
We had a week
lovely.
Off. Very naughty of us. The footballers certainly didn't have a week off.
No.
They had a... They, Pete, had a busy week.
Yeah.
They did. A lot
That's
of people
a busy
did.
Week.
A lot of people did.
I love the Christmas football. I know part of me thinks that, you know, it's a bit uncultured not to have a Christmas break because everyone else does it and they seem much more forward thinking than us, but I bloody love it.
Yeah. I've been buying almost daily Now TV subscriptions for the daily access to the Sky Sports channel because I don't have Sky. It's just constant buying of these vouchers.
I think Boxing Day football's good.
Oh, hi, Sky Sports. Please give me a subscription. Yeah. Pathetic.
Well, it's not Sky Sports. Sports, it'd be Now TV, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I can't get Sky Sports, I'm on BT.
Either way, you're whoring yourself out.
Did you get an Now album for Christmas?
No, I didn't,
know. Oh, okay, that would have been 12. Fitting. Mm-hmm. But you are a DJ. So you need to be up with it. You need to be up with it, is all I'm saying. I like Boxing Day football. I think New Year's Day football's quite nice because everyone, it kind of wakes the population up again.
Yeah.
The one in between is unnecessary.
No, but I think I'm right in saying that most football clubs get their highest attendances over the Christmas period. So it's very important for them. Mm.
Well, Louis van Gaal wouldn't agree with you.
No.
It's also, it reminds me a little bit of the World Cup in that it's just always on.
I went there the first couple of days when you realise it actually sinks in that during the World Cup you're having three games of quality competitive football a day.
Absolutely.
Is absolutely fantastic.
Actually, one of the things the World Cup opening is missing is presence. So maybe we can sort of start that rolling
and
be like Christmas.
Have generously suggested a Christmas World Cup when Qatar comes
and
along.
They get lots of presents themselves, don't they?
Often own, self-given.
They're opening presents all year round.
They have a surplus of presents.
And when they give presents, they want to take them back. Greg Dyke's still got the watch. He's been hounded. He's the only one.
Yeah.
He's the only one out of the 65 delegates or something like that.
Sorry, he knows what time the meetings never are.
Once a year.
That's what he said.
He knows
how am I going to know when to turn up?
This is a special FIFA watch.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a little email only on the watch.
There's like,
it's like the bat signal or something.
And there's like 26 hours a day on the watch. So you get more time for like eating and stuff.
That's very true.
How am I going to know when to go to prison?
Someone will come for you.
Aye.
Yeah. But it's unlikely as a FIFA man. It's very, very unlikely.
I'm a FIFA man.
They'll go to a FIFA jail. Like, when those, you know, massive criminals in South America build their own jails. It'll be like that.
It'd be exactly
if they ever go down.
Mm. It's called FIFA House.
Yeah, that'd FIFA Court.
FIFA Our House, if you will. We haven't even said the opening question yet. Blimey O'Reilly getting ahead of ourselves, talking about the World Cup. The next one's in 3.5 years. A sobering thought.
Yeah.
And you need to sober up, listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if ever there's a time of year where that's needed.
Just for the run-up into New Year's Eve, at the time of recording. If you could make a New Year's resolution for a person who operates in the world of football, or a body, if you prefer that, what would you come up with for whom or what, Jim?
Well, obviously, a lot of New Year's resolutions are quite similar every year, aren't they? It's people that have overindulged in the festive season and maybe want to get in shape a little bit. Also, people reevaluate their lives at the end of the year just because of the general sort of crushing existential melee of existence. And so what I would do this year...
Well, that's all year round for me.
Well, yeah. But myself as well, but it reaches a sort of head around this time, doesn't it?
Somebody's got to give.
Absolutely. So you make a little resolution. For me, this year, I would choose for Mario Balotelli to, like, you know, maybe start doing a bit of exercise, you know,
run
a bit, you know, have a little bit of, you know, try and get fit a little bit.
Work
just
the channels.
Do a bit more. Be a little bit more active, you know, maybe actually fucking do something.
So Mario Balotelli to try harder.
To try, yeah.
Yeah, just to try.
Just to have... He's good.
He's very good.
We miss him.
We do. Because we've not currently got him. Have we, Liverpool fans?
We've got him in body, but not in spirit.
Exactly, Peter. Mm. I couldn't agree more. Mm. Luke, there's a man in body and spirit.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
What a body.
I think I would get Alan Kerberschley to take a job. I know he had that Fulham technical role, but that was, come on, I mean, everyone was getting a job then. That was like full employment in post-war Britain. Everyone had a job then.
We've all been Fulham technical director.
I mean, I think 2015 could finally be the year that Big Kerbs gets back on the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure, I believe my memory's not that good, but I believe I was with Marcus once when I asked him a question or two.
At a Q&A
session.
It was at Villa Park.
He seemed like a nice chap. Mm. So I think he's got a lot to offer. I'd like to see him get back on the horse, get a job, and I'd actually like to see it be at Fratton Park, but I don't think it will happen.
Really?
A bit low down.
He knows what he's doing.
He's sticking the boot in.
Well, I like the idea that...
Down. For him, he hasn't had a proper job in 5 years.
I like the idea of his parents coming in saying things like this. Look, Peter Reed's in Thailand. Come on.
Yeah, it must be something...
Come on, Alan.
Yeah.
You're better than this.
Alan Kerberschley is not above any job. He should be... Portsmouth's a project for someone. That's what I'm saying.
A project. Oh, like a smashed gate.
I'll take... Portsmouth is the wall that's fallen down at the back of the garden behind the shed.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it,
don't
but you know
it.
When you get cracking, it's going to be bloody great.
Yeah.
But you can leave it for a while and you'll be okay.
Oh, it's been left for ages. Yeah.
Foxes are running riot.
Yeah, it's become overgrown. You can barely see it.
When McLaren got the England job in those heady days, Kerberschley was interviewed for it. Just so it shows the calibre and quality.
I'll take Kerberschley.
Yes.
I'll take Benitez.
Well, hang on.
Well, I'm just
For the Portsmouth job.
It's a project. He likes a project.
No.
A fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Napoli, a lot of potential.
Napoli to Portsmouth.
But my overall point is I just want Curbs to get back on the horse.
Fine.
I think we'd all like to see
and not that horse you used to throw snowballs at.
Fine. Pete.
I'm not particularly concerned about anything, but I am...
But for other people,
I would
might
very
be.
Much like Jose Mourinho to stop talking about things that are not happening on the pitch.
Yes.
I think that's unrealistic.
I don't want him talking about things that happen in people's minds, people's
boardrooms. Can we go back to Benitez at Portland?
I just wish he'd shut up for a bit.
Just like the 20 minutes of injury time, that kind of thing.
He is doing my love right in, mate.
Surely you'd want some sort of say in the next Newcastle manager.
What do you mean, if I had a New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution, you'd probably have some sort of opinion on who you'd like to be the next Newcastle manager. Because when Pardew was offered the job, you said famously within these four walls, don't make me sick in my mouth.
And I was sick in my mouth.
I know, but I'm just saying, would you prefer to have someone that doesn't make you sick in your mouth?
After, 4 years, I can now finally spit that sick out of my mouth onto the floor.
Are you preparing for a fresh wretch?
Yes.
Spirit of Christmas.
Definitely, Jim. Definitely.
I was going to go on those lines. Mike Ashley to a point, a Geordie Messiah, maybe big keggy.
Yeah,
there we go. It's got to be said, ladies and gentlemen. We got it out of the way early.
Well, he's done it before, so
and a couple more. Tony Pulis to stop wearing a cap on the sidelines.
Yeah, and again, not going to happen.
But he's going to be in business soon. You would have thought. Mm. But perhaps the one I'm actually going to put forward. And this is for everybody in the game. All the football clubs across the land to go back to the old numbering on the back of shirts. Yeah. And none of this silly squad numbering we have at the moment.
I'm not too bothered about that, to be honest.
I am.
Doesn't bother me.
No. The reason I'll tell you something now, right? I'm pleased you brought it up, because I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, but I never remember. The squad number thing, I think that's rubbish. I think it's better to have a squad number. Mm. I'll tell you why. Because teams always have squads, or clubs always have more than 11 players. That's standard. Everyone knows that, right? If you go back to the old numbering system, you've essentially got to attribute the number to the position. So if you've got a manager who likes to rotate, likes to use a whole squad and become successful over a period of time, there's not going to be any players associated with shirts, which I think is a shame. Yeah. You wouldn't have Thierry Henry number 14.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't have Beckham number 7. You wouldn't have Beckham number
23 at Madrid.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. You'd never have that anymore. So you'd never have players assigned shirt numbers, and therefore you wouldn't be able to retire shirt numbers a la Maldini, which is something we're all behind. So have a think about it, and maybe...
Well, I've thought about it, and I don't agree with you.
Fair enough.
Wasn't this the year when we it was a couple of retired numbers, so it was kind of like, oh, come on now. You've been here 3 years, come on.
I'm not
was it
Roel?
Was it Roel at Schalke?
Yeah.
That's right.
Some of them are retired too easily. I understand that. I completely agree.
No, I like the squad. I like it, the fact that people, there's competition for the number 9 jersey, for the number 10 jersey. That's what they're after. I know what you mean with different positions. If you play a back three, where does the number 2 and 3 perhaps aren't you?
But don't you think like a kid who's coming out watching football and he loves, say, Thierry Henry, and he wants to get a shirt with 14 on the back because he loves Henry, you wouldn't have that.
Yeah, but you would get a shirt with number 9 or 10 or 11.
Change things. Let's keep things exactly as they are.
Not if Henry.
No, Jim, I'm actually wanting to change things because things are the way you're saying.
But you don't like the fact they have changed. You want to take it back to the old days when everything was sepia and simple.
What's wrong with that?
Because we've moved on.
I didn't like it.
In answer to your question, what about if Henry plays wide one day?
Give him 7 or 11.
Exactly.
So then all those kids who've got his name on the back of their shirt suddenly have an irrelevant shirt.
Because if you have a player like Henry who moves around a bit, then...
Any footballer.
Yeah, that's true.
Next thing you're telling me, you'll be one of those against modern football people.
Hang on, what are you talking about?
Balotelli's number will never change because he doesn't run around that much.
Yeah, he's number 39 for us, by the looks of it. That doesn't
just avoid your points. Let's get on with
it. That doesn't encapsulate my feelings on modern life or modern football or anything.
This is a very muggy start to the year.
It is.
Calm it down.
Well, the year hasn't started at the time of recording.
Yeah, okay.
This is what will happen if people try and go against me. I will swat them.
You'll bore them to death.
With my FIFA-branded fly swatter.
This is how people are going to be introduced to 2015. The old days.
Yeah. Who's got the points? Kerbishley getting back in.
I'll donate them straight to Alan Kerbishley.
Yeah.
It's because a good start for him.
When he starts a new job, he'll need points.
Yeah.
He can take those into his interview.
Yeah.
Now.
It'll be like vouchers.
Let's get on with the proper stuff. Big Pards. Big Pardiola.
Everyone, manager of the year 2011-2012, Alan Pardew. You must have a touching tribute to him.
At the time of recording, he hasn't officially gone, but he's pretty much gone. There we go. It looks like he's the new manager of Crystal Palace. Neil Warnock was sacked by Palace. Pete Donaldson,
is it
kind of a bittersweet moment? You know, he did all right with Newcastle.
No, he didn't. No, he fucking didn't, Marcus.
Well, I don't know.
He did all right.
Do you know the way I see it?
A win ratio of 38%. That's how I see it.
In the Prem? What do you expect? He's done okay, hasn't he?
Well, some seasons he was hitting 27%. It was only because Kabai played well one season and it got up to 50.
Oh, sorry, Nate Silver. Have you got an infographic for that? Wait, can I just say, I'll tell you what Pardew's like. You guys need to be careful what you wish for. I've said this before. What's happening with Newcastle fans is they're being taken through a particularly spooky forest, okay? A wood. A spooky wood, and it's dark, and Alan Pardew is the lead ranger. And yeah, he's a bit annoying. Yeah, he starts fights, and he kicks off and makes rubbish points, and everyone hates him. But when he goes, who's going to take you through the forest?
It's going to be Tim Sherwood, isn't it?
Yeah. Sherwood.
Who is very familiar with forests.
Yeah.
Because he is one.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm under no illusion of the fact that, you know, what will come in will be an aberration, and I will have to produce another mouthful of bile. But... you know, I was just sick of the fucking sight of him, to be honest.
It's quite surprising that this is actually happening the way that it has. Because I think all of us felt that he was there for the whole 8 years of that contract and there was nothing that was going to unseat him, however badly he did. And suddenly he just flounces off to Palace
jumps
at the first opportunity.
Jumps for a relegation battle. Jumps for a relegation battle? It's just kind of like we should have fired you. You don't fire us, we fire you sort of situation, isn't it, really?
And now I'm gonna just take some impossible wreck and make it better than you.
What about that £160,000 headbutt?
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
I mean, if you're dishing out Alan Pardew's greatest hits, you can talk about percentage points all you want.
Headbrush.
But that headbutt was magnificent. It cost him 160 grand.
Mm. Didn't even connect.
No.
I know what you're saying, Jim, about how it's ended. It did end not too badly.
Yeah, pretty amicably, I would say.
That we thought. Would it suggest that maybe the compensation, the millions in compensation that Crystal Palace gave Newcastle United helped subsidise alleged debt somebody had to somebody? I don't know.
There's a bit maybe this isn't really the arena for that kind of behaviour.
Yeah.
To be quite frank, Marcus, I'm surprised you brought that up.
Really?
Let's just call Pardew what he is, the current holder of the Premier League Manager of the Month.
Four derby defeats in a row.
Yeah, that's a new record.
Conceded more goals than any other Premier League team in 2014. 5-7 wins, something like that, in 10 months. Those kind of accolades.
Quite boring to watch as well.
Oh dear. But, you know, he would have stayed there for the rest of his contract, I think. You know, he keeps Newcastle as a Premier League concern. We buy cheap and sell high. You know, Ashley's quite happy with the way things were going. You know, it's not like we're going to get relegated anytime soon. So I think it'll just be the same manager again coming in.
It's a situation where everyone wins, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. It's a proud day for the investment vehicle.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But you say that at the moment, as things stand, presumably go to Palace as we all expect them to, everyone wins at the moment. But it does depend on who Newcastle get as the next manager, because the fans could miss out big time if they get someone terrible.
It's just going to be the same kind of manager, you know. Pardew was just a yes man for the whole regime. It's going to be hard to find a manager that's going to toe the line quite so closely to what Mike Ashley wants to do.
Yeah, but Pete, all joking aside and stuff, I don't think any other manager of the type of manager you're talking about could necessarily deliver them like Europa League football like Pardew did. I mean, he did a good job getting them into the
By the same token, though, Pardew doesn't look capable of doing that now, and it's all about the now.
And that was all about the people he had. He had Demba Ba, he had Papi Cisse, he had Kabai, all firing on all cylinders. You know, Cheick Tiote was playing well. It's very much the players that got brought in.
He was getting the good player out of them, though.
Doesn't sign the players, and he's a yes man for that horrendous Mike Ashley regime.
Big Joe?
It's Graham Carr, isn't it?
The guy who goes out and scouts it. I mean, if he had a hand in finding the new manager, I'd be more than willing to back the whole thing.
But they had a good win at the weekend, didn't they?
But the point is, they were awful in the first 10 minutes. You watch that match.
Cisse was lucky, wasn't he?
Yeah, 90-minute game though, wasn't it?
Great for the last 80.
I'm just looking at the results here. It's just 3-2 to Newcastle, so I mean, that's 3 points.
The two matches, three matches before that, I mean, that was pretty...
Pete, would you happy with...
I remember that match. It's all about the now, according to you.
Would you be happy with a straight swap with Palace? Warnock in? to Newcastle.
Well, that's going to be the. Well, he's not going to pay any compensation to anyone. So it's basically people who are out of work now. Yeah. So it's going to be Kerbishley or Sherwood. You know, people are going like Remy Gardner or something. It's not going to be fucking him, is it? It's going to like Frank de Boer. Fuck off. Yeah,
Big Phil.
It's going to be anyone who's out of work.
What about Rafa Benitez? The aforementioned.
The link.
They're not going to pay money for Rafa Benitez, and Rafa Benitez is not going to want to take over.
The link to Frank de Boer is amazing because essentially the press have linked Frank de Boer to Newcastle because Frank de Boer once said on the record that Newcastle was a sleeping giant.
Megson, surely.
It's going to be someone like that. It's going to be a British bore. It's going to be an all
Steve Bruce
British
will be
bore.
Interested. Yeah. All joking aside,
but
Bruce
they're not
going to
pay his compensation. They're not going to pay his compensation.
I don't want Alan Pardew, but I don't want anyone else either.
So, Pete,
if Pardew can't have the club, no one can.
Pete, what is your worst case scenario? And I just want you to say this out loud because if you do, it will almost certainly come true, and that'll be funny for the rest of us.
It's Tim Sherwood.
It's Tim Sherwood. Everyone's worst nightmare.
Well, there's talk of him going to West Brom as well. Although Pulis, what about Pulis?
Yeah. Pulis and Sherwood in at West Brom.
Some sort
both of them.
Bloody hell!
No, but what about Pulis at Newcastle? Would you take that?
The best of a bad bunch. I'd take.
He wouldn't go,
but he'd want to say so. He basically said at the West Brom job that he wants to say so on the transfers and stuff. But modern clubs don't really run like that, do they? These managers are just kind of like of a bygone age to a certain extent. I tell you who
wants to get back in the managerial game, and he's managed in the North East before. Big Roy Keane.
I think that would be a disaster. Yeah.
Oh, God.
More headbutts on the touchline.
I'm just having a little moment thinking about that. It's beautiful.
I've got a couple of new Roy Keane stories someone told me over Christmas.
Oh, okay. Far away.
Not even that libelous.
Far away.
One is that after Roy Keane had that incident in Saipan with Mick McCarthy, where he stormed off the coach and went back into the hotel, apparently Steve Staunton said that a few players went straight after him, like jumped off the coach as well, to try and grab him and say, look, come on, this is silly, you can reconsider. And they went back into the hotel, chased him back up to his room. And as they got to his room, the door was open. And apparently Roy Keane was in the hotel room already with his top off doing loads of press-ups.
And he was letting off steam.
He fags out on himself.
And he wouldn't speak to him until he finished his press-ups. And apparently he did absolutely loads and was there for ages. Really? And the other one I've got is that when he was at Man United and they used to go out on the sauce, he would always insist on walking home. Would never get a cab.
I like that.
And he used to live 6-7 miles outside of the town centre.
Wow.
And he would always walk home.
I like that.
Jesus. The reason they're great stories is because they fit perfectly into our vision of the man.
Yeah, I can imagine he's doing that to sort of patrol the streets late at night like a kind of vigilante.
It's his duty.
Just stopping crime. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Part of it, yeah.
It, with great power comes insanity.
In his case.
Going back to news, realistically, Pete, then, who would you quite like for the job, realistically?
Well, as I said, like they talk, like one of the names mentioned was the ex-Leon guy, Gard, the ex-Arsenal.
Well, because the France link and stuff.
Because like Graham Carr obviously works a lot in France and stuff, and he would be, you know, a bit of a dream signing. But again, it's not going to happen. Ashley just wants a yes man. Ashley just wants someone who's just going to keep the club ticking over. He pockets the TV money every year. You know, it's going to be the same kind of appointment. It's going to be the same kind of like it'll be a Warnock or it'll be a Sherwood. Or
Brian McDermott, let's have the best day of his life.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a lovely appointment, wouldn't it?
You know, it's just nothing that's going to push for Europa League football, nothing that's going to get us relegated. I think it's just to keep it ticking over, really.
That said,
nothing can be better. At least we won't have to see Pardew's shit-eating grin every time.
Yeah.
Every time he wins a match after four that he's lost. I'm just glad I'm never going to have to see that again.
Unless it's
Palace beating Newcastle, which probably happened.
Yeah. As we've already touched on, you know, Marcus, you said it really, really good. Early on, it shows you how ridiculous the Ashley regime has been. Yeah, that would be the go-to joke in the past, but that has already happened.
Yeah, that has
already actually happened. Mm. The most ridiculous thing you can think of.
What's Shearer saying about it? Has he piped up?
He generally doesn't. I think that's after
he
got
his jokes. Fingers
burned, I don't think. He seems quite happy as a pundit, doesn't he? When he took the job, he was very much, no, this is short term.
Yeah.
I'm only coming back to help out the club.
It's short term because I will get you relegated. So, yeah. You will not. Short term. Your choice, probably. Your decision. I will not be sticking around here when we're in the Championship.
Well, I mean, with games to spare.
Yeah.
Sam Allardyce had a little comment on the situation with Pardew leaving Newcastle, and he said it was a reflection of the anger and impatience in modern life.
Mm.
Because it, I mean, you were saying, Luke, that Pardew hasn't had a terrible time if you look at it overall at Newcastle.
Well, I'll come to it from a completely neutral point of view. Obviously, I like wine and pit up and all that other stuff. But generally, if someone asked me what my opinion was on Pardew's tenure at Newcastle in terms of on the pitch, and fine, he's not been the sign, making the signs, but I don't think you can underplay the fact that he took him into the Europa League. I don't think you can underplay the fact that he got 6 wins on the bounce and got his current manager of the month. I think he has his faults. He clearly is a very arrogant man, and he's not really going to achieve an awful lot under the regime at Newcastle, because as Pete rightly says, that's not how they operate things there. I mean, they're looking to consolidate Premier League status. They're not going to Ashley's never going to chuck hundreds of millions out to try and push for the title. So, of course, he's not going to achieve anything beyond that. But I think overall he's done an okay job.
If you look, is it a really good set of stats? It's kind of hard to explain, but look, out of the 14 other clubs who also played 95 Premier League fixtures over 2012, 2013, 2014 seasons, which what Pardew's been dealt with, compared to all of those other teams, and this guy called Chris Holt put these stats together, Newcastle are bottom of the league with games lost. You know, they've got the worst loss record. Clean sheets, they're second bottom. Failed to score in a match, third bottom. Goals for, fourth bottom. Goals against, bottom. You know, goal difference. It's just because for every run of five defeats where they just got absolutely, you know, played off the park, they'd have one match where they might score three or four
since
goals.
Since the Europa League season you're talking about?
Yeah, well, right. No, including the Europa League season. I think it's, you know, 2012, 2013, 2014. If you take that Europa League season, when it was really the stars aligned, there were some really strange results in that league. Kabay was firing. Everything was going right. And there was no real tactical...
Just missed out on the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was huge. I mean, but bearing in mind that, you know, so did Everton, so did, you know, a lot of people, and they're having terrible seasons, but would you judge, you know...
I think there's an element here. Fine, I'll take that on board, fine. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's an element that Newcastle fans should just admit that they just simply just don't like the guy. They don't like the way he carries himself.
I don't think anyone's saying that.
But I think that's what's fueling it, ultimately.
Right.
But
that was a terrible acquisition anyway. You know, I'm giving you stats. We're giving each other stats, and you're saying then you can still sort of say, oh, you know, he was hounded out of the club. He was hounded out of the club because his results were pretty awful. The football was terrible. He fell out with players. He refused to work with certain players like Bigger Armour and Cabela. How expensive was Cabela? He just sat on the bloody bench for crying out loud. They can't use him. He's not very good at bringing younger players on. He's not very good at getting the best out of these kind of rough diamonds. He can only deal with complete footballers, and that's, for me, is Alan Pardew's main problem.
Oh, well, why don't you marry him then?
Pete, he's pretty much gone.
Yeah, he's gone, mate. Yeah, Don't worry about him now.
It's fine.
No. But Pete Donaldson's new nightmare.
I mean, what I am looking forward to is the podcast not being a Pete Donaldson versus everyone else.
But you don't know what you got till it's gone.
There's the kiss again. I heard a little rumour. This is not about Pardew. This is about... a member of staff at Newcastle United, a little rumour. It may or may not be true, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope it's less libelous than the first one you nearly splurted out.
I never did. Did I? There we are.
Let's hear it then.
It was one of the translators at Newcastle United. I believe he was a local lad, big Newcastle United fan. He would... obviously talk to the players who Pardew couldn't. I would have thought largely in French. There's lots of French speaking players there, or there was the other year.
I've met one of the translators. He's actually a Sunderland supporter, which is quite funny.
Okay, right. Well,
maybe he's just been giving them the wrong tactics.
Well, Jim, this guy is a massive Newcastle United fan. Pardew would say the tactics and then he would relay them, and sometimes he would be on the sidelines, of course, with Pardew as well, if he's shouting out instructions, and which he was doing. And Kabaye apparently said to Pardew, by the way, he's not relaying your instructions. And he said, this is nonsense. And Pardew was like, well, what do you mean? And so there was another translator there who was used to just do the admin, you know, the contract, right, and all the legal work and all that kind of stuff.
The translator had a translator.
Right. Well, no, there was two. The one who would do the admin and the other one... No, you had two different translators doing two different areas.
They got different
of work.
Jobs, Jim. Sorry.
And so they were a bit suspicious of this. So this the guy who did all the paperwork sat in just to have a little ear, and apparently the other guy, Pardew, said, "Okay, tell him to do this," and he would just go, "Yeah." And he would then give his own instructions.
That's fast.
And that was our Europa League year.
I believe he was there when they won 2-0 at Chelsea.
Yeah. Was that Remy Gard?
But it's just a rumour. It may or may not be true, of course.
But anyway, let's talk about the Newcastle-Everton game.
Could we?
Everton, I say, you're talking about a team who've conceding goals and all this other stuff. Everton are in real trouble in domestically.
Bit of pressure on Martinez.
They've conceded 31 goals this season. They only conceded 33 in total last season.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
Only QPR have got a worse defensive record than
them. And they barely count. Yeah, Cisse was really, really lucky to be on the pitch after that. Very premeditated elbow. He even had a couple of goes at it and then was offside in the build-up to the goal. It's such an injustice.
Yeah, but what I would like to say is he joins Santi Cazorla in the Adorable Footballers League for me.
It's true.
So he's allowed one red card a season. It's fine.
I mean, he should be in jail, but yeah, I think he's there.
He's been retrospectively punished, though.
Yeah. Three games. Could have been worse.
I think it probably, arguably, I don't want to get on Newcastle's back too much, but I think that I probably should have been more than that.
Yeah.
Who hurt you, Luke?
Who hurt you?
Yeah. Papi's elbowed me right in the chops.
Clearly. Perez, eh? With another one, Pete. He must be enjoying his work.
He's been brilliant this season.
Jack Colback scored his first, I believe.
Yeah. A lot of people were talking about Ross Barkley making a mistake in that, but Colback still had so much to do to get that in.
It was
really
Barkley
well.
Mistake.
Of course, but it was by no means a simple finish.
It was a nice finish.
There's something great about seeing a Newcastle fan, Newcastle lad, like scoring a goal at Gallagher, and that's class. Yeah. That's like old-fashioned like football romance.
And very ginger.
Very ginger. Yeah.
Northernly ginger.
Violently ginger.
I like the way that I mean it's a testament to Newcastle's kind of middling season that a 7 out of 10 player is really kind of like, he looked like one of our best players, I think, because he's been fantastic. The problem with US is they go up and down, up and down. He's been a solid performer all season. He guarantees a level of performance, and what I like about him is he doesn't pass sideways, he goes forward. He really goes for people.
Could he play at the base of Hodgson's diamond?
I think either him or Cattermole could, I think, to a certain extent.
We're oddly sort of big fans of Cattermole.
I just want to see what it would be like.
Yeah.
I read today that Cattermole's got the most yellow cards of any player this calendar year.
Fine. Is that right? Yeah. Well, talking about yellow cards, what about Gareth Barry, the first Premier League player in the history of the league to reach, ladies and gentlemen, reach 100 yellow cards?
Oh, he's been around for a long time and he is a midfield player. No
one else has ever done that, though.
Yeah, true. How many appearances does he have in Tottenham the Premier League?
It's more than 100.
We'd hope so. It's quite a lot.
Yeah. We'd like to see Colback maybe given a go for England.
Well, I haven't said that.
Pete and I would.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I wasn't talking on behalf of. I never talk on behalf of you, Luke.
Good.
Good win for Newcastle. Though Everton struggling away. Did you know what I did? Yeah, people were even talking about Martinez being under pressure.
I think he is under a bit of pressure. I think, to be fair, the only thing he's got going for him really at the moment, I think, is that they did okay in the Europa League. They didn't get beat, I don't think, and they went through pretty easily. Someone was saying to me earlier, they were wondering out loud whether defensively they did so well last season because they were still just doing what Moyes taught them, and because Moyes is quite a defensive minded coach, and now they're starting to take on Martinez's ideas all over the pitch. That it's starting to come unstuck for them at the back. The other thing is they have had a lot of players out at different times, like key players. I mean, Howard's out, Jagielka's out, they've had McCarthy missing, they've had Morales has been out for a while, Lukaku's gone hot and cold, Morales has been injured here and there. They have had a few issues.
Exactly.
To
their strikers aren't firing as well as did last season.
Lukaku is so hot and cold. It's incredible.
It's nice to see Kone
score
so early on. It's interesting because, I mean, as you say, maybe it is the case that it was Moyes' tactics that were helping them defensively, because it almost looks like Everton are slipping back into the mould that Martinez's Wigan were under, where they would dominate games and just fail to score and then concede stupid goals.
Because you talk about Martinez a lot. I mean, essentially what got Martinez the Everton job was the fact they won the FA Cup Wigan, right? But I mean, they got relegated that season.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it's a different kettle of fish, and it's hard for a team of Wigan size and stature to stay in the Premier League, and he achieved that beforehand. But I mean, they seem to be a little bit tense at the back, and it almost looks like players like Distan, for example, he's just aged overnight.
36 years old now, though.
But last season he was so strong. I know at some point he's gonna come off, he's gonna fall off that sort of level, and he's gonna tire. I think Jagielka's a big miss for them. I do at the back, and his absence was missed against Newcastle.
But he's been there largely though.
Oh yeah, of course, but he's injured at the moment, is what I'm saying.
Isn't that just another Europa League campaign that just takes the balls out of everyone?
It's quite a small squad, isn't it?
Martinez did say that before the season started. He said, "Look, I think we need to add seven or eight players in." I don't think they've done that.
No. Everton historically haven't for the last 20 years.
They've had, I mean, Barkley, towards the end of last season, Barkley was fantastic, wasn't he? And he's been out as well. He's only just come back.
Alan Irvine has been sacked by West Brom. Side are only a point above the relegation zone. They've lost 7 in their last 9. And as Jim said, the club are looking at Tony Pulis and Timmy Sherwood.
So Tony Pulis, right back in the mix for hardest manager.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah,
if he gets the job. I'm recording. He hasn't been.
Well, we all know he will get the job because West Brom are only talking to those two, and Tim Sherwood will rule himself out of the job because it's not a Premier League job in London, which is crazy given his experience. He's got absolutely no right to say that.
Where did you hear that?
It's essentially what he was implying last time he didn't take a job. There was talk of him going to the Norwich job, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh no, I want a Premier League job." And it's sort of well known that he doesn't really want to move out of like wherever he's from, Boreham Wood or whatever.
You never know, though. He could have learned from that and thought, well, hang on a minute.
Because didn't he
I'm setting up fucking roadblocks.
I'll tell you what it was, Jim. He got really precious about the Palace job, didn't he? He said, oh, I'm not a first choice, so I don't want it.
That's right.
It's a Premier League job.
Yeah. You haven't proven as much as you seem to think you have.
I don't even know if he's done his pro licence. I think the only way he got away with having a job at Spurs is by saying he would start the pro licence, so they let him get away with it.
There might be something in
there. You've not got any experience apart from a few months at Spurs when you got fired, right? You've done nothing else apart from that. You've not got a pro licence. And you're saying you're ruling yourself out of Premier League jobs because you think you deserve better. What do you actually want? We're doing the Bayern Munich job or something.
On the Badgers stuff, maybe.
Not in London.
It's not in London.
Yeah. can I just give me some silverware?
Yeah.
I'll do a top league job on in London or Londonderry. Anything with London in it, it'll be fine.
Tim Sherwood should be biting the hand off Palace, certainly. He should have done. He should have taken
that
job.
Well, that's gone now.
Of course. He should have taken Norwich if he was offered it because Norwich are a big club.
Yeah.
And it's a great place for him to
play. And it's not that far away from London either,
exactly.
Is it?
And West Brom are also a pretty big club. He should be taking that.
Do you think he was scared that Palace would be too difficult to keep up and therefore he'd be out of the Premier League anyway?
Yeah, probably.
I think
it's a case of absence makes the heart grow fonder. The longer he's out of the game, the better he gets.
He may well end up at West Brom. So at time of recording, we don't know.
That's what I liked about that Coloccini rumour. He hasn't got any coaching badges.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you wrote that headline before you thought about it, didn't you?
Did you see Carragher and Neville?
Carragher laughing.
He was just like, what? Even he was like,
why wouldn't he go into punditry like me?
Yeah. Why wouldn't he continue playing while he's still got a career there? The reason why some people are a little bit unsure of Pulis going to West Brom is Henry Winter interviewed Jeremy Peake, West Brom's chairman.
Yeah, I read that
recently.
Yeah,
and he talks about West Brom. Peake does about the club evolving into a more continental structure with a supervisory board sitting above the football operations, and Pulis likes to have total control, like a lot of British managers do, because that's traditionally the way
it's part of the job, isn't it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but of course on the continent a little bit different, and I think West Brom are moving towards that. And are one of the clubs who are further down the road, certainly, than a lot of others. And it would be a bit of a sticking point. I find
Pierce quite a curious case, Jeremy Peake, because he's obviously a West Brom fan and stuff, and he loves the club, clearly. But and I think he's actually been dealt a bit of a... West Brom fans will know more about this than me, but I think he's been dealt a little bit of a blow in terms of the media by people saying that, oh yeah, the manager, the coach has never sees the players, and because it was thought that they signed Brown a day and then Alan Irvine never see him play. But what Peake was implying was actually no, I always let the football men make decisions. I mean, the people who make decisions about transfers do consult the manager and the group of players, whatever they call them, the technical committee, whatever that is. They are football men. I don't get involved. I don't come along and say you're having that player. It's nothing to do with me. I just make sure the numbers work and the club's profitable and it's in the black and it's a great and it's gonna. Yeah. And he sort of said, I see myself as a custodian sort of thing. But I think recently, I know he's got a really fractious relationship with the fans and stuff, so I think there are obviously other things that go on that the fans didn't agree with. But the Alan Irvine thing's a weird one, because Alan Irvine, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying, was passed over by Peake for Pepe Mel. And they took Pepe Mel, and then when Pepe Mel didn't work out, they sort of got Irvine. There's like an afterthought.
Might have even been earlier than Pepe Mel. I mean, he was certainly impressed with Irvine's interview, but perhaps it was Di Matteo maybe that got
possibly,
the job.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I forget which one it was, but I think he didn't get it. But they obviously remembered what he was all about, and maybe they thought, well, he's the man who would fit into the operations. You know, that was a few years ago, and so the club had moved forward in a certain way, and Irvine, they thought, maybe would go in there. But clearly the fans were never happy with Irvine, and they will now say, well, we told you so, if you like.
But you're right on what you're saying about the fact that it's weird if it's true that they're only speaking to Pulis and Shearer, because both those managers, I don't fit in that way at all.
Sure.
I suppose what they want to do is get a manager who's got experience in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because it's important for him to stay in that division.
Well, it's been a while since they've had that, isn't it? Tony Pulis is going to steady that ship more than any other candidate, so it makes perfect sense.
But Pulis, it could just be a short-term thing to the end of the season. Make sure we stay up, and then they get in to the summer, and then they can have a little look round. I mean, it would be strange that Pulis suddenly becomes, you know, interim manager. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they're poor against Stoke. I mean, Stoke seem to have sorted that. Well, not
Stoke are doing all right though.
They've started to sort out their home form, which is important.
Bojan's having a good time.
He is. He's settled in nicely.
Well, I think he's enjoying being the main man, isn't he? Mm. He's never had it before, really, in the sense that he's always been at big teams where there's a lot more expectation.
Mm. I tell you, he's doing all right as well. Mamma Biram Doof, he's scored quite a few goals now. You know,
he looks really, really comfortable in that side.
All agrees. Leicester with a vital win. They should have got something out of their home loss to Spurs, but a crucial win against Hull. You do worry for Leicester.
Worry for Hull as well.
Well, yeah. Worry for all of them.
Yeah. West Brom going around.
I'm just worried.
I'm not worried for Newcastle anymore now he's gone. I'm pleased for them. But Leicester, did they kind of flattered to deceive early on in the season? I mean, we talked about their great run, and Ujoa was scoring all the time. He's not stopped scoring, mind, and that win against Manchester United and all, and then some of the results are just, they're not going their way. And you look at that Spurs game and you think, that is the hallmarks of a side that...
Isn't this win against Hull their first win since that United game?
I think you're right.
Yeah. When the fixture list came out, I actually put some money on Leicester to be bottom at Christmas, which came in because I saw that Leicester's fixture this the first half of the season was very, very difficult.
And obviously, and that they've got to play everyone.
But you look at the way the fixtures are lined up. Because you look at Man United's run now. Man United have got I think they go to White Hart Lane. That's it. They've got nothing hard till March. Whereas Leicester had a really difficult start. And what I was going to say was, it depends whether they can keep their confidence and keep together. Because Burnley look like a really close together unit, who don't seem to be affected confidence wise by defeats and stuff like that. Even when they, you can tell that because they could have easily gone the way Derby went under Paul Jewell, where because they went ages without winning, didn't they, Burnley? And now they're doing okay. You wonder if Leicester can weather that and actually get back to winning ways again. Now, obviously, they started against Hull, and maybe they will, but essentially, someone's got to get relegated.
I tell you what, there's a name we didn't mention in Newcastle, Paul Jewell.
Yeah, he's available.
Yeah. Yeah, move on.
Not all of your reasons.
Probably come up with about 5 stats while Paul is a better manager than Alan Pardew.
Absolutely. Oh, there's a Hatem Ben Arfa. Well, I say update. We still don't know where he is. It's still France, I believe. But I think Hull are doing away with him. And his agent was asked what's next for him. And he said, he will have a new club in January. That won't be a problem, don't you worry.
There's one born every minute. I did a back heel back in 2013.
Yeah. But first off, he's going skiing.
Yeah.
not down the Alps, down the EU Butter Mountain. He's got to eat it all.
He'll have a new club in January, a new nightclub.
Yes. Are we thinking QPR?
Oh, standard.
Oh, imagine it. Ben Arfa, Defoe. Brilliant. Bid for Crouching.
There has been talk of Crouch, hasn't there, with QPR? There has actually genuinely been talk of Crouch.
Lovely. Yeah.
That said, he's still of an age where he could turn his life around, but
Let's hope he does. It
never happens, does it?
If he cared, he doesn't.
Luke, you mentioned Burnley moments earlier. What a result for them. 2-0 down away to the champions.
I got a bit lucky. Boyd was offside, wasn't he?
He was. He absolutely was, yeah.
Yes, he
but
was.
Still. Who would begrudge that wonderful Sandy ball?
Well, anyone who respects the integrity of the laws of the game, I think.
Fair enough, yeah. It's interesting, Dyche is now going with sideburns but no hair.
I know, yeah, it's strange. Imagine if that was how football worked. Who would begrudge him it, though? The referee just said that. Come on,
it's Burnley.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Great goal from Fernandinho.
And Silva, a swivel and a drive.
Silva's in such good form.
But Ashley Barnes. Barnes coming out
of the locker.
Are we enjoying James Milner up front?
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Just the sort of guy who would just do your job there. He's happy to do it.
Did you bring in those other amazing midfield players into
New Year's resolution for Milner, nailed out of position.
James Milner did a really good video over Christmas.
It's pretty funny.
I think he's got a bit of a bad reputation, Milner. I think he's a good egg.
I would go as far to say that's the off the top of my head.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Best acting display I've ever seen from a footballer.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's good, but I don't think he's that good in it.
Well, I'm basing it on
Luke's acting.
No. Luke, yeah, he did a very good Danny Dyer in Steve McLaren Time. Yeah.
let's talk about Steve McLaren Time.
Don't judge me on one performance.
No, I'm basing it on, you know, that advert like Wayne Rooney and Patrice Evra and all them.
Yeah,
I don't care.
He is coming.
Yeah. Peter Schmeichel is a pig farmer. You know, I think it's pretty good, actually. I think it's pretty...
I agree with you, but I don't care that much. I think it's just fun. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun at Christmas.
Who would
everyone
begrudge him some fun?
I love how you do that. You go, I don't care. As if we really care. Don't shove the care blame on
don't
us.
Don't play the care card.
Don't shove the care blame.
I'll tell you what I do care about, City's defensive problems.
My goodness.
Even though they've got a really good defensive record in the league, they seem to be really adept at conceding important goals.
Yeah. I know, especially as Chelsea drop points.
Yeah.
Burnley were at them the whole game, though. Even in the first half, they were really, really going for
Burnley. Are a team of engines, though, aren't they? George Boyd's stats, no one's run more than him.
I love George Boyd because he's their big summer signing. You know, that shows you the difference between them and a team like City, that George Boyd is your big star.
And he looks like a
real
prima donna, but he's actually really hard working.
Mm. Oh, of course, yeah. Well,
George Boyd's lungs, that's what they paid for.
Of course, they're running champions and all that other stuff, and so you can't be too harsh on them. But I mean, if you're a City fan, are you happy with them starting a game with Mangala and Di Michaelis at the back? No. I mean, it's not to me, that's not a title-winning defensive partnership. The way Mangala's playing at the moment, and they're really struggling to find a partner for company long-term who can slot in there. And we've said it before, and I'm sure we'll say it again between now and the end of the season, Terry and Cahill are so solid, like so reliable, so consistent.
But if one of them got injured, it would be, well, I suppose you put Ivanovic and shuffle around, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But when you start Mangala and Di Michaelis in the game against Burnley at home...
Yeah. Oh, they should have won the game.
Come on,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mangala just looks like so, like, almost like he's confused as to what Premier League football actually is all about.
But they didn't know that when they signed him. Clearly, I mean, everyone's saying that, you know, defenders are a premium these days. They paid big money for him. There was a lot of hope put on his shoulders.
I take all those points, but what I'm trying to say is when you sign a player of that pedigree, okay, of course everyone knows he's talented, he comes with a good reputation, he's in World Cup squads and all sorts, right, so we understand that, and he's young and he's only going to improve, but I mean maybe they have done this and it hasn't worked, but surely they sit him down some DVDs and show him some games and go, this is how it's different.
They probably have.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not adjusted at all is what I'm trying to say, and at some points he looks almost laughably bad in points, like he's going like 6 foot high of his
boots. Like karate kicking in the box, yeah, absolutely,
which is the sign of a really unconfident, almost out of his sort of comfort zone footballer.
Well, you know what, maybe it's the fact that he's moved to a new country and he's moved to a completely different level of football where there's a much bigger spotlight on him, and that price tag is obviously new to him as well, so you know, football is a confidence game for so many people, as we know. Maybe it's just affected him. It's a hell of a lot of responsibility on your shoulders in a lot of different ways all at once, with a lot of, you know, lifestyle adjustments as well, so maybe it's just going to take him a little while to be comfortable in his own skin.
He's very young lad
at the moment. He looks like he's not.
Well, I'm curious as to where Nastasic has got to.
Yeah,
I mean, because he looks
he
okay
was rated,
to me.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he looks okay to me in parts when he played, and he's not getting anywhere near the team now. No,
I guess there has to be a point where, if you've got some players like that, you've got to make a decision with one of them. You've got to stick with that one, and, you know, put the faith in them that, you know, maybe you're going to have to carry a few of their mistakes, but in the end they'll get it right.
I'm happy to say that. I'm just saying, don't make it Mancala. The one you stick with shouldn't be him.
I hate back three, get full backs to tuck in. Milner would go wing back.
But I mean, the point about Burnley, what to make, was a lot of people went over the top in the manner in which they got the point, which is understandable because they were 2-0 down. You know, Man City are a good team.
They did very well.
Sean Dyche made a really interesting point in the post-match interview where he said it's only a point. Yeah, yep. It's just not carried away. We haven't got 10 points here, we've got one point. And it's not going to keep us up. It doesn't mean anything. What he was trying to say was, if we get relegated, it doesn't mean shit. So we need to make sure we stay focused, and because we only got a point out of this. We didn't win. And so whilst it was a welcome point, he was playing it down, which I think was the right thing to do.
Yeah, because that's where complacency can come in.
Well, I'll tell you why it's important. I'm not sure who Burnley have got the next game at New Year's Day. It might be Stoke. No, it's Newcastle away, isn't it? Newcastle away. Burnley did something quite interesting. Sean Dyche played exactly the same team on the 28th and he played on Boxing Day. Mm. And you wonder whether that's going to come back to haunt them against Newcastle, because they might be absolutely
knackered. Has he not played the same 11 in the, I think, match they were saying in the last five games?
Five games or something, isn't it? As you say, though, they are... fit team.
They're going to break at some point. Mm. Yeah,
a team of fitties.
At Chelsea, they did drop points away at Southampton. Mourinho's unhappy and he said there's a campaign against Chelsea. Blah, blah, blah. Let's hope he does take up your suggestion of a New Year's resolution.
It was like one shot on target they had in that match.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's blaming the ref. It's like,
campaign. It's such a FIFA goal from Asad, wasn't it?
The thing is,
scored that one.
He's not blaming the referee, though, is he? If he rips in the lines, he's just trying to take the heat away from his players.
Of course he is.
But not only his players, but himself. And I think that's an important thing to note.
The Fabregas one should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
It's
really disappointing, isn't it? Because Fabregas was booked for diving, then we saw Aguero booked for diving a little while ago when he didn't dive. It seems that whenever referees make that decision, it's only to get it wrong.
Well, not always. They're two big examples.
Yeah, but I mean, can you think of another one?
I can't think of another one where booked for it. Yeah,
I know what I mean. I know, obviously, I'm sure there are examples, but it does seem frustrating.
Of course, yeah. Mourinho said it was a scandal. It was not a small penalty, it was a big penalty, like Big Ben.
I thought he said, like, the Big Bang.
Either or.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Neither of them work.
Yeah.
Big Ben's a large clock, like you, mate.
The Big Bang was the first example of a penalty in association football 14 billion years ago. When
all the numbers were right.
Carnu was playing.
Carnu had always been there.
Can I retract my large clock? I mean large bell. That makes more sense.
And also
it's more accurate because it's the bell rather than the clock. Before everyone tweets in, I've had enough tweets this week. Fuck off, everyone.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, we all know the tower is St Stephen's Tower, and Big Ben is actually the bell. A bit of London trivia.
If you write to your local MP, if you live in London, then you can go up the tower, and you probably
inspect
take about 6 months.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Inspect it.
I've actually been to the House of Parliament. Anyone can go there. You can go in there.
No, it's not the House of Parliament. I'm talking about Big Ben. You go up Big Ben.
You don't. You got St Stephen's Tower to see Big Ben. Just made that point.
All right,
fine. Just made that point.
You go up, if you want to go up and see Big Ben, then write to your local MP if you're in the London area. There we are.
I pay my council tax in Westminster, so I reckon I should be allowed to just stroll up whenever I like, quite frankly.
Well, the sounds of it, you are.
Jose Mourinho.
Next week on Question Time, we'll be in Burnley.
My thoughts of...
Oh, God.
Well, I've got...
Yeah, we're all right about Burnley.
We're just all right-wing people shouting.
You say you want...
Did we say you were sick of the tweets? <Yeah. laughs>
There's your mouth again.
Burnley have got a terrible reputation for the BNP.
You're a radio DJ, you say. Because you do this a lot, don't you?
Off the fucking clock, Luke.
Yeah.
Off the clock.
Oh, you can't play a song now.
It's not a clock, it's a bell.
Don't worry about it. They'd have forgotten about it by the end of Bohemian Rhapsody. It seems pretty pointless now, but I was going to say that Mourinho's obviously just thought, I'll take the fine and I'll get the pressure on the back on the referees. Mm. And because Mourinho's been honest with himself. I mean, a couple of his players have dived.
Yeah.
Especially Gary Cahill.
A couple of couples.
Yeah, which was bizarre.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
It wasn't even...
Ivanovic did it against West Ham as well.
Exactly.
Terribly so, to the point where you wonder if he's actually instructing them to do it, because it's so common.
There we go. But anyway, Chelsea didn't have, as someone, I forget who it was, you or Pete said, they didn't get enough shots on target. They didn't make their dominance count. Mm-hmm. Southampton are a good team. Mm. It's a decent point for Chelsea, really, that.
It's also a very big point for Southampton because they've had this tough run of games that they're kind of in the middle of now, and they lost to Burnley where they really shouldn't have done. And it's important for them to get a, even if it is just a point, to get a big scalp in that. Because
definitely,
this point of the season, when you've got teams like them and West Ham, the bigger sides have to sort of say to those teams, like, all right, you've had your fun in the first half of the season, you're up near the top, but now back in your box.
Silly season's over.
But Southampton have done well to avoid that from Chelsea. And played very well.
And obviously, I'm always very careful criticising Southampton because I'm a Portsmouth fan, but I genuinely think Southampton have got a bit of a flat-track bully about them this season. The games they've played, but then on that bad run, they didn't win for a while. They actually were playing some quite good teams, and they got almost like a bit of a reality check. So it's important for their confidence and for them to know they can mix it with a team like Chelsea. And if they can, that'll give them confidence and they can go on and maybe get other sort of showpiece results.
Especially having recently pretty much dicked on Everton as well.
Oh, that was a fantastic result. Yeah. Everton aren't the team they were last season, of course, but that was still. Everton are a big name still. Yeah. They're a team who are up there. You know, they're a European team. So,
Chelsea. Well, now former Chelsea man Fernando Torres, who's on loan at AC Milan,
isn't it?
It's very strange. He's been signed by Milan on a permanent deal. Chelsea have pretty much just said, "Yeah, just have him
yeah.
to take him on." So he's been signed so they can loan him out to his old club, Atletico Madrid, because obviously Atletico Madrid don't have much money, despite winning the league and getting the Champions League last season. But they brought in Mandzukic and one thing or another. But so they're going to take him on loan, so he's going to go back to his old club. But it's strange that Milan didn't want him after, I think, 10 league appearances or whatever.
Yeah, he scored one goal. Yeah. I do actually feel for him. I think he's a likeable guy.
Milan are getting Alessio Cerchi in return, which is a good sign, and he's quite a pacey winger.
I hope Torres, who's clearly talented, and I fear that he may not ever get find his way back, but I hope he does.
There's a lot of talk. Chelsea didn't realise he'd had such a dip in form, but they didn't realise what he was going to be when they signed him. I mean, he had 65 league goals in 102 league appearances for Liverpool.
Where does that go? How can that just go away?
Compared to 20 goals in 110 league appearances.
We've said this before. I wonder if, because Torres broke through when he was about 18 and he was a first team regular from then on, the main man basically, and he would have been about 25 at his peak at Liverpool. Just peaked early, isn't he?
And he's also worth pointing out, by the way, that his goal scoring record at Liverpool was very good, and he played in the team that really suited him. He didn't actually have that great a goal scoring record at Atletico the first time.
No, he was never prolific.
Too bad.
Yeah, but he wasn't known as a prolific. He's nowhere near that level, Liverpool level.
I think it was something like 85 in just over 200 games.
That's surprising me. But
he wasn't always the main man there.
All I'm saying is, before he went to Liverpool, he wasn't actually known as an out-and-out goal scorer.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy you would rely on for 30 goals in the season.
But
that Liverpool thing has been a rod for his own back, in a way.
Well, he looked like he would go on to be that, didn't he? That was the punt Liverpool were taking. And because they got that out of him, you just assume he'll always be that player now. But he just looks kind of... Well, it's effectively has just become a journeyman.
And his injuries,
really
injuries have been
of
difficult.
Of course, they robbed him of a lot.
Yeah, I think the injuries have certainly played a big part. I mean, there is talk that Simeone could be the man to do it. I mean, you imagine he would get a bit of fighting spirit about him. Certainly, not that his work rate actually you would ever question.
No, but that's what's interesting about Torres and the way his form completely fell away from him was that when he was at Liverpool, he had a bit of magic to him. He was a player that could make something out of nothing, and that just deserted him completely.
Well, I think the crucial thing,
even for Spain, he still performed consistently.
Like the amount of times where you just see him at Chelsea though, and he'd just like be missing sitters and one on ones and stuff, and it's just kind of if he puts some of those away, his goal record will be a heck of a lot better.
But that side of it, I mean, you're right what you say, Pete. But that side of it, the one-on-ones and the open goals, I mean, that's just a confidence thing, isn't it? You can't say a player at that level isn't it capable of scoring those.
No,
it's just a confidence thing. It's just in his mind. And I think, when I remember seeing him play for a certain period of time at Liverpool, once or twice against Man United, most famously, where he'd pick the ball up and he'd have defenders in front of him.
Yeah, he used to roast Vidic for fun, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, I think those days are behind him now. It just depends whether he can adapt his game, I suppose.
Well, somebody from Atleti was talking about getting his acceleration back, and I think that's what it was. He was quick, but it was his acceleration. When he'd pick up the ball, he'd be away, the way he would turn men, and he lost that in injuries and confidence, whatever it was. And so I think that's something that they'll try and work on, whether they can work
on
it.
Well, he's going home, isn't he? Sparks it off.
But also, he's going to play second fiddle to Mandzukic. He's going to be what David Villa was to Diego Costa last season, and that may suit him, not so much in the limelight perhaps.
Can I also say, just reminding me, I know it's not in the running order, but Liverpool were fantastic against Swansea, and they only played last night, and I think that was the best I've seen Adam Lallana play for Liverpool.
Right,
absolutely superb.
Well, I hadn't actually finished off with Milan, because incidentally Adel Taarabt has turned down a move to Atalanta in the hope that Milan will come in for him.
Oh dear. Okay. He's got to get over that ex, hasn't he?
Him and Tim Sherwood should meet up.
Appears to be a high risk strategy.
We've all done it.
We could all do that, mate.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, Liverpool looked like Liverpool.
They look fantastic. Yeah, I thought the lineup played really, really well. I mean, moving from Southampton to Liverpool, it's a heavy shirt.
That second goal was great,
and fantastic. It looked heavy the first few months of the season. Yeah. It looked like lead lined.
Fantastic. Shall we move off to the Championship?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to tell us another story about Roy Keane.
Well, you could put that in your festive highlights package.
Okay.
In the Championship, Bournemouth. They won both their games of the Christmas period. They're top of the league. Promotion is on for Eddie Howe. Just wonderful, this is. They're unbeaten in 14 games. It would be sensational.
They had two games over Christmas. They won both of them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in fantastic nick. The thing about the Championship, and also League One, League Two, is anyone who's a fan of a club in those divisions, the momentum thing is so big in those divisions because the games come so quick. You play eight games more than you win the Premier League. Mm. And so you hit a run and you hit your straps. And Eddie Howe's obviously a good manager. I mean, he learnt his lessons, made his mistakes with Burnley, came back, and he's showing actually that you can go back and still be successful. Mm-hmm. And he's almost slotted into that job like it's an old jumper and I think they will get promoted, and I think it'll be a revelation in the Premier League. I really do. I think hopefully he can avoid the thing that a lot of those young managers do where they get offered a tempting big job like the Newcastle job, for example, something like that, and stick there, because I reckon he could achieve things with Bournemouth.
Yeah, absolutely. In contrast, Nottingham Forest lost both of their matches. There's a very smug face at the end of the studio.
I actually thought that a couple of days ago when I was thinking about preparing for this show, I thought, I think he might be gone by this show. this would be fantastic.
That would free up the opportunity for a Pierce Clarke dream team at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Fingernails, Pierce. Yeah. Fingernails.
Steve Stone's there as well, isn't he?
Yeah. John Carver and Steve Stone, actually in the hardest managers chat. Two of them.
I suppose so.
All right, let's talk about Stuart Pearce, if you don't mind. They've got Rochdale away in the FA Cup, their next game. And Rochdale, they're not in great nick at the moment, but they're a decent League One side, Rochdale. I think they're seventh or eighth in the table.
Anyone could beat Forest at the moment.
I think that might be it. I think Rochdale could beat them, and that one will be gone, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah. I said March conservatively, but it looks like it's going to be January. And I'm delighted
by
that.
Joyless fucker.
I like Forest as a club. I think they're wicked. Proper old historic club that I really, really enjoy watching play. But
that's the disclaimer you wheel out every single week.
Well, yeah, let me finish, Pete. But I don't like it as much as I like being right.
I was about to say that, Pete. To be fair to Luke, right? It would have been great if it had worked out with Pearson Forest. To see a legend return to his club. We all like seeing that. Yeah. And we all like Forest. We often try to champion them for promotion in ramble seasons. Mm. Ramble seasons? In seasons
combined.
Well,
we can pick up the same baton with Pardew at Palace, can't we?
Yeah,
the player returning.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely
can do that. Yeah, I think you should be driving that one, Pete.
Look, we've got I'm driving a bus full of banners from Newcastle to London.
Yeah, you might need these.
Yeah. There's your bed sheets.
Stop off in Burnley. Make sure that. But I know what Luke's saying. When you make a juicy prediction. And everyone laughs at you, and then suddenly you think,
a glimmer.
When I made that prediction, we were doing this show back over in East London, in Dalston. We did this show there. I don't know if you were on it, Peter.
No, I don't know.
You definitely were.
I don't go East London.
They were top of the league after 12 games and absolutely flying.
Yeah. Mm.
And I got a load of stick on Twitter when I said it. Oh, yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, imagine getting a lot of stick on Twitter. Imagine that.
To be fair, you can't begrudge Luke's smile there.
I mean, yeah.
It's not happened yet, but it will.
Yeah, but the fact the conversation's now valid.
And with a cream egg.
The great thing is that Forest fans know it as well. They know, and half of them want him out anyway.
Mm. Only half.
I blame a Samba longer.
In more enjoyable Championship news, Big Hesk.
Yeah. Emil Hesk.
You're beaming.
One
right
in
now,
two. Like. And then two appearances. It was one in one.
He had one disallowed.
Well. It should be 2-2.
Yeah.
Neil Lennon was very unhappy about that.
I'm pretty sure the goal was onside as well.
I think it was. Yeah, I think Heskey was. He's
the referee's
offside,
going, Heskey 2-2. Yeah. No chance. Yeah. No way. I've missed something.
He's got 1-2. The way he's going.
This goes against everything I learned in referee school.
I mean, the 1-2 now, the way it's going, I mean, we might have to crank open the doors of the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. Got to mention Middlesbrough. They're going well, and they took nearly 7,000 fans to Blackburn the other weekend, which is the biggest. away attendance in the Football League this season.
That does make it sound a bit like they kind of forced them to go.
Maybe they did, Jim. Maybe that's the way to do it, football clubs.
Push them over the Pennines.
It's quite a curious case because I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying, and I'm fully prepared to be shot down about this, but you might know more about us than me because it's your neck of the woods. Middlesbrough struggling to fill their stadium a few seasons.
But no, haven't they been for a long time?
Because they had a few Premier League seasons, didn't they? The Selnet.
Yeah. But now because Karanka's doing such a good job, they're coming back.
Middlesbrough, they seldom do they sell out, to be perfectly honest with you.
But they're taking a lot of away fans there. It was quite a long trip.
It's a hell of a trip. Yeah, I mean, they've got a good, you know, core loyal support. But
it's like when Hannibal took the elephants over the Himalayas. In a way.
You know, I mean,
taxi to Darlington.
There are some comparisons one can draw, certainly. Eastwood, got to mention him, fantastic in goal for Blackburn. But yeah, it's really interesting what's happening with Middlesbrough, because in the last handful of years, you know, when they hired Mowbray, who likes to play a bit more attacking football and so on, didn't quite work out for him there, which was a shame. Again, an ex-player going back to the club. But they've always tried to promote a few youth players in there and one thing and another, and good things happen at Middlesbrough, generally speaking, so it would be nice to see them back in the big leagues.
Well, I think Steve Gibson's like a blueprint for, you know, a stoic kind of steady chairman or owner or steward, if you will.
Let's call it as it is. Like, I mean, when Middlesbrough got promoted to the Premier League, they did it properly. They signed Janino.
Ravanelli, the white feather.
Oi, we're in Emerson. Now. We're in now, guys. And we're having a fucking great time.
That's how it
should be, though. None of this Sean Dyche Burnley business. No. Oh, we'll work really hard. No one gives a fuck about that.
What's Stuart Ripley doing?
Yeah.
No, it's more like eight of them are going to work really hard, and we're going to have three you're going to enjoy watching.
Do what they want.
Don't forget Emerson, the Brazilian.
Even the season they got relegated, they got the two fucking cup finals. That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
You pick and choose.
Yeah.
Agreed. All agreed.
I think that, in a way, they're the most 90s team. Yeah, Do you know what I mean?
Very much so.
But post-90s, they won the League Cup and...
got to the Europa League final, yeah.
I think it was UEFA,
yeah,
was it?
Cup final, yeah.
UEFA Cup final?
The only thing that can challenge it for the most 90s thing is the Spice Boys white suits.
Liverpool, 90s.
I saw a great clip of that. It might have been earlier today, in fact. It was some of those Premier League years things. And they showed the FA Cup suits, you know, the white suits that Liverpool players wore.
What final was it, 96?
Yeah. They're beaten by the Eric Cantona.
Yeah, that's right. And Jamie Redknapp walks on.
Yeah, that's right.
The score,
yeah.
And he looks at the camera and goes, "Oh, I hope it doesn't rain now." Like, he's really pleased with himself because he has this white suit on. It looks so bad.
You'd have got involved though if you were.
Oh, we all wore shit stuff in the 90s. I'm not having a go. I'm just saying.
We didn't have any other choice.
No, exactly.
What about managerless Brighton?
Just say what you want to say.
Sorry, up with it.
No, I'm not going to.
You've resisted it with the Newcastle chat.
Yeah.
Get into it now.
Go on.
I went to Fulham yesterday. It's the first time I've been to the Cottage this season. I've seen my other local team, QPR, play this season, so I didn't want Fulham to get jealous. That's how it works.
Yeah. In
Man United,
London.
Who you support.
Support none of them.
I need to get down to Brentford, actually. Yeah. They're going well. People are tweeting me this. I mean, I haven't been Googling Sven-Goran Eriksson. But yeah, apparently he's the early favourite for the Brighton job. Who knows?
Speaking of Brentford, by the way, you know, we were talking about Mark Warburton as doing a good job.
Yeah.
And I said he was a tradesman, yeah?
Yes.
But he wasn't. He's actually a stock trader in the city.
Yeah, right.
Loads of people got sort of like really weirdly pissed off about that. Oh, it wasn't a tradesman, it was a trader, you fucking idiot.
They're probably traders, to be fair.
Yeah, they probably are, yeah.
Cocked off the heads.
Yeah, reported to the Trades Description Act.
The people who complained about it, I registered your tweet and ignored them.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been festering for a while.
Oh, bloody hell. Fulham was so blunt last night against Brighton. Brighton played well.
They're still knackered from the Magat regime.
I think they are.
Isn't Ruiz out, though? He's injured, isn't he?
He is, yeah, but they still had Roddy Ager and McCormack up top and, you know, one or two other decent
McCormack
players.
Cost a wedge as well.
Yeah, he's playing awfully deep. But Brighton played well. It was nice to see Calderon just chugging around the park, having a nice time. But I had the whiniest and moaniest fan I've ever come across at a football match sat right behind me. His voice was superb. All the time, Fulham would come forward and he'd be going, "Oh, what are you doing? Wide! Oh, look at that!" And he would always announce,
like a man caught between two bus stops.
But every time Fulham would come forward and do something wrong, which was every time they attacked, he would go, "No!" And just like announce the fact that it hadn't happened. Oh, you know,
can I on the subject?
He actually once went, "No, no, no, no!"
pow! At one point.
Can I revisit what we... who was with me when we were at Chelsea and that guy called Carlo Ancelotti a tactical pygmy?
Yes.
It wasn't me.
Stopped it out, Carlo, you tactical pygmy.
Yeah, 5 Champions Leagues as a player and manager.
But he said it in a really half-hearted way, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. That was also the time where there was a mistake on one of the things, like wishing people happy birthdays, and there was someone called Berent.
Check out this. There's a guy that I know called Tomo, and he runs a little Twitter page where he. There's a man who stands in front of him at the football, and he looks like that. You can't see this now, but if you want to follow him, it's Pools Burt, and he looks like that. He's like a long haired Bay City Rollers from the man from the 70s, maybe.
It looks a bit like Charlie Nicholas.
It does look a bit like Charlie Nicholas.
Champagne Charlie,
the cannonball kid.
And every time he says something stupid to the football, he writes it down. So the last few posts have been, "Get a magic wand." For God's sake, get a whip out and whip them. Go on, you bugger, I'll choke you.
Ooh, wow.
Get out of the way, Baldy, you big pudding, yeah. Go on, you minger. Just honest, ding dong, the snakes have gone.
That's for his personal one. Yeah. He's logged in by accident.
Go on, you crackerjack. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, there was another fellow who Fulham had quite a young winger on show, George Williams, I think his name was. And every time he'd run forward, and he looks like he's got a bit of promise, but of course, maybe lacks a little bit of confidence, a little bit of game time. And every time he'd run forward, someone would go, with all sincerity, "Believe, George, believe, believe," as he's running forward.
It's so funny. For the stars.
Did you see that Alan Hansen documentary when he retired from Match of the Day, and he was talking about when he was signed for Liverpool? I forget which team he was playing for, but he was maintaining all sincerity that when he had Liverpool came in for him, he thought it was a joke because he would get such stick from the fans every week that he actually thought he was a bit of shit.
That's great.
I'm sure that's not true, but it's funny. It gives you an idea of what the crowd was like.
Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah, we've got a Felix Magath update though.
I don't want one.
Do you know
what?
I'm tired hearing this. Okay, fair enough. Well, we won't bother then. But he basically, what I will say is, if you talk about Tim Sherwood being a bit picky and choosy, he said, if I receive an offer from a London club, that would be tempting.
Yeah, but Magath won the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
You know, he'd get a lot more chance of being choosy. I know he's a bit shit now, but
I'd like to live and work there for a few years. What I'm looking for is a truly solid, well-led club. Well, how many London clubs really is he going to... After your reputation, mate, of getting full of relegated and then one point in the first 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
You know, him, Sherwood and Adel Taarabt need to have a good old chat.
Mm.
I don't think any of them will enjoy that.
No.
Especially not Taarabt and Magath. Let's go to Russia. We've got a Fabio Capello update. He hasn't been paid for 6 months. Well, the Russian Football Union have announced that they are close to paying him. So
on the other hand, has he done anything for 6 months?
It's within his rights not to.
You're
surely.
Like a teacher, you get paid all year round.
I got the impression that obviously we've been talking about Capello a little bit and his lack of wages recently, and maybe people are a little bit worried. So rest assured, the money will come to him soon. The RFU said that they'll use any official source of funding to pay Big Fab.
So okay, well, that's reassuring.
Good, isn't it? Yeah.
Why are they telling him through the press?
He's gone, "I'm down in tools." Why have you even got tools?
If I was him, I would just be like, "That's good, just want for my money."
Yeah. They'll be ringing up the news going, it's going through right now.
Yeah.
I've just transferred, I've sent
the Western Union.
It'll be within 2 hours.
Send the product.
I've done the Western Union. I've had freelance jobs like that before.
Oh dear. So yes, hello. Let's go to Liberia.
"You know that you came and you changed my world."
Thank you. Yes, Liberia. Now, in recent Senate elections, the seat for Monserrado County, which includes the capital city, Monrovia,
as we all know,
went to none other than George Weah.
Well, it's always going to be George Weah, because I literally cannot name another Liberian, as no one else in this room can.
Presumably Liberians can.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, he won a landslide majority of 78%. He did once go for presidency in 2005, but it's good to see another footballing Senate.
Yeah,
we've got Romario.
Yeah. Senator, you mean?
Senator, sorry, yeah, in the Senate, right.
I mean, a footballing Senate would be something else entirely. I mean,
well, it's FIFA, effectively, isn't it? Babetto's not... I'm not sure if he's a senator, Babetto, but he's certainly
he's involved.
We want
Big
more.
Soul. Doesn't Big Soul want to be a Tory MP?
Yeah, he does. Disappointing.
I think he did. I don't
mention tax.
Disappointing, but not unexpected.
Yeah, so more footballers as senators, please. 90s footballers, be more specific.
Absolutely. Any of that old Middlesbrough team.
And if they won the World Football of the Year, that's a bonus.
The only African to do so.
Indeed.
Big Weah.
Who's that guy with the blonde beard who used to play for Middlesbrough?
Xavier.
Yeah, Xavier. Yeah.
You're right, mate.
Yeah, I'm just remembering things from
having
the past.
A little reminisce. Yeah. That's fine.
Liberian girl.
Yeah.
Back to the football.
Yeah.
Japan, Pete. We're going to go to Japan.
Oh, you like Japan?
This is for you, mate.
Are you coming with me?
If you'll invite me.
No.
I've seen some of the stuff you get up to now. I'm not coming with you.
Maybe it's best I don't get involved,
tentacles
actually.
Shit.
I just wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
From the other week, this was officially the world's oldest professional footballer.
Kanu.
No. Well, he's unofficially.
Yeah, officially.
Yeah, but Kanu has at least retired now, hasn't he? He'll prop up something.
Make him an offer.
Kazuyoshi Miura has agreed to stay on for another season with Japanese second division side Yokohama FC.
So old.
They weren't the side that you went to see, were they?
No.
Yokohama, they should be a top flight club. Mm. It's in a big area, isn't it, Yokohama?
Maybe they've got a few clubs.
Aren't they second? I think they're second division.
Yeah, they are. They should be top flight. Yeah.
When his contract expires, he'll be 48.
That's excellent.
47 currently.
He's done a lot at international level, hasn't he?
Hasn't he? I mean, he's absolutely here, widely acknowledged as one of their greatest ever players.
He sort of left home when he was like 15 and just went to Brazil.
That's what made him.
He played for like Palmeiras and
Santos.
Yeah,
I don't know how much he paid, but he played for them.
Clubs.
And he was the first Japanese player to feature in Serie A.
Mm. Yeah.
So incredible.
He's got his own dance as well on Pro Ev back in the day.
Oh, right.
he used to do the Kazuyoshi dance.
Well, cool. Nice, yeah. King Kazu, I think he's called.
Good for him.
But yeah, 55 goals.
Similar to King Kanu, strangely.
Yeah. He's quite strange, isn't it? Well done to King Kazu. Now it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
It is time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game. Last week was Santa. People didn't get that annoyed about it.
That was a few weeks ago. Yeah, I can't even remember what the fortnight ago one was.
Well, it was Santa.
No, because you've already revealed that.
Yeah, but we didn't do one. We didn't do one because we were going to take a week off. So basically, I've got a new voice for all y'alls.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's going to be quite a quick feature. Here is this week's voice.
Ball watching.
And if you know what that is, just get yourself to...
I just realised that's why I couldn't remember it, because I'm racking my brain.
Wow. Just get yourself to your email browser thingamajig and fire off an email to voice@footballramble.com and we'll be deciding who is the kingpin next week.
Get all up in our business.
Yeah, here it is again.
Ball watching.
Go on, have a go. Right, now it's time for your highlights of the festive period with Luke Moore.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
This is the last highlights of the week of 2014. I thought about it properly, I would have done highlights of the year, but I didn't. So it's just highlights of the festive period.
That's fine.
But before I get into it, I should say I got back from visiting my family for Christmas and back to the house. And it was one of the... It's very cold at the moment, isn't it? One of the coldest times of the year by far. And the boiler was broken.
Oh. So your pipe's frozen.
I took to Twitter.
Oh, I saw you on Twitter
doing
this.
I took to Twitter.
That was amazing. I saw this.
Took a photo of my boiler. So this is what's wrong with it. This is the error message. A guy called Jay, who is @thebig_spoon on Twitter... he helped me fix my boiler. He sent me direct messages, told me what to do, and I've managed to fix it, and it actually worked. And for me, that is massive, because I've never fixed anything before in my life.
Was it a pressure problem?
It was, actually. Yeah, it was a pressure problem. It was a pressure that I had to twist. I won't go into it. It's very boring. But
have a look at Luke's Twitter feed.
Share the wealth, Luke. Yeah, but, let other people know.
It's on Twitter.
I hope you guys don't mind, but I've taken executive action, and I think that's fair. Friend of the Ramble.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, could he be our boiler fixer? The boiler fixer of...
Official boiler fixer of the Ramble.
Well, the thing is, something you don't know about this situation, Luke, is that I saw you getting your boiler fixed on Twitter, and it made me ring up my landlord and say, can you fix my radiator? And
there you go.
A lot of things fixed over Christmas.
Knock on effect.
Yeah.
And Jay actually did tweet saying, the best part of my Christmas, the best present of my Christmas was fixing Luke Moore's boiler, because the best presents are given, not received.
What a man.
What a suck. Like no plumber no gas fitter I've ever heard.
I sent him a direct message and said, that's gone too far then. No, I didn't really. I was very appreciative. And thank you very much, Jay. I thought I should thank you personally on the show, because it's amazing for you
to
do that.
He's the official boiler repairman for the Rams.
Exactly.
Stop blowing smoke up his gas.
No.
Ooh. I had no idea we could get them to do things. This is great.
Yeah, there you go, see. So,
one of them did all my Christmas shopping.
Yeah, that's right. One of them. That's what I said.
No, I love you listening.
Right, let's go to the highlights.
Yes, if you could.
Save me everything, Marcus.
John Cook comes in and says, the amateur club Auckland City FC finishing third in the Club World Cup, and their captain, New Zealand football stalwart Ivan Vitulich, being named the third best player of the tournament behind Sergio Ramos and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I've actually got a personal link to that team, because the guy who played right midfield for the team I play for in New Zealand he plays for him, and he came on and scored a penalty in the shootout in the third place.
Right, okay.
Wow.
James Pritchard, I don't know if he listens, he probably doesn't, but Yeah.
He's lost if he doesn't.
Yeah. Simon Adams says, Boxing Day, I was watching Leamington FC. We won 4-0, and the ref was pure comedy. He commentated the entire game.
Super.
For example, this is what the game's going on. Great tackle. Good battle. Unlucky. And no. Simon puts forward a motion, which I think we can all get behind. It should be mandatory for all referees.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love a bit of that.
Yes.
Me.
And you can listen in on the red button.
Sean Raymond says, Alex Song not celebrating against his old club, then protesting when the goal was ruled out.
Yeah, I agree. That was going to be one of mine, actually.
Fantastic.
I'd like to think it was chalked off because, well, he's not celebrating, so there must be something wrong with it.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Ref's just taken the laws into his own hands.
David Sanderson has tweeted in saying, discovering that my brother caught chickenpox in 1980 from former Liverpool Football Club striker Neil Mellor's brother.
Nice.
Oh, it's a claim to fame, isn't it?
Not really.
It's got to start somewhere. Colin Dunn, this is a nice one. He said, I travelled all the way from the US via Korea to England for my first Anfield experience. Great stuff at the 4-1 victory over Swansea. That's nice. What football's all about.
Yeah.
Thought I'd put that in there. Robbie Kingston, another thing we can all get behind. Mm. He said, the prescience of Nostradamus. That's me. The sword of Damocles hangs delicately over Stuart Pearce's head. Yes, it does, Robbie.
It hasn't happened yet, has it?
Yeah, so, it will do, though.
Sword of Lucalese.
Luke Carpenter said, I saw Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in Nando's Portsmouth doing his best to remain inconspicuous with a hat on and a hoodie up. All in vain, though, as every single member of the staff pointed him out to every customer that walked in. Luke Varshley, the return of Lord Heskey.
Yeah.
There's a couple here for you, Pete, actually. Oliver Noble says...
good.
Pete, is Alan Pardew a good manager or not? I used to know, and now I'm not so sure. Hashtag Pardew out, hashtag Pardew in. Piers Morgan and Chris Moyles. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Just fucking.
Like a worst of humanity.
Yeah. But I'm sure Piers is lovely, Piers Morgan.
He can't be as bad as that suggests. It's literally impossible.
My highlight of the week is Pete switching teams as a supporting Palace so he can follow Pards. It might happen.
Crystal Pardless.
Ben Muschelli on another Newcastle tip says, managing to maintain a state of denial about Ashley's next pick for manager just about long enough to celebrate Pardew going. And I've got one final one to end with because it's a Christmas show, I suppose, bit bumper. This is quite a long one, but it's worth it. Adam John Watson says, my highlight of the festive period was also the biggest nightmare. I was on a later start than the rest of the lads at work when I received a phone call from one of them telling me Dan had come back from sick and wants me to go in and get him a secret Santa gift.
He'd come back from sick?
So he'd come back early from being ill. As a result, he needed the secret Santa gift bought for him.
Okay.
He says, so I went off to Mike Ashley's Sporting Football Emporium. knowing Dan is a massive Sunderland fan. Mm. I thought an easy prezi would be a Sunderland calendar, which pained me to buy because I'm a Newcastle fan. It's only 4 days after the derby. Mm. He said, I'm stood in the queue when I look behind me to see the one and only Peter Beardsley. He said, being a kid in the 90s, he was my hero, so without hesitation I said, hello mate, how you doing? Peter smiled and said hello back and looked at what I was carrying in my hand, a Sunderland calendar. I then spent the rest of the way in line trying to explain I was a Newcastle fan. I don't think he believed me. I asked him to sign every page in the calendar, which he politely did.
Amazing present.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good.
So he says, at the end of my saying, so fuck you, Dan. And thank you to Peter Beardsley, who's made me a hero of our call centre.
Yeah, do they have to shop in there?
Apparently so. Yeah, it's part of it.
Very few shops open.
Yeah. Part of it, yeah.
I'd like to give Eric Abidal a mensch.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, he retired from an amazing playing career. And of course, coming back from cancer, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
was. With a
liver, I believe.
Liver, that's right. You forget, you know, Eric Abidal.
What a career he's had.
What an amazing achievement that was in itself, just coming back from that. But winning Champions League.
And Jonas has been playing friendlies again, hasn't he? He just finished
his second one against Gaeta, I think. Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Played the full 90.
Good stuff.
Which he never used to do before, which is what I'm saying.
One story that emerged over the festive period was apparently a very irate Roy Keane went round to give Tom Cleverley a visit.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Terrifying.
Yeah, apparently it was... he was very upset that Tom Cleverley said Keane was very confrontational with the players, so he went round to confront Tom Cleverley about that.
Who's the smallest one?
It was alleged that Big Roy rang the doorbell and waited for 15 minutes. And we know this because apparently it was captured on Tom Cleverley's CCTV,
which
clearly had been
installed
when he heard Roy Keane was coming round.
Can you imagine he's there for 15 minutes unblinking the whole time?
Yeah. With his finger on the bell the whole time?
Yeah.
Just Tom Cleverley walking past the little screen and patting it. You've done your job.
I like the idea of like Tom Cleverley coming home. See, is that right? Fucking hell. Get back in the car.
Marvellous. The Football Ramble 2014 compilation.
Yeah. Before we go, I should mention that the Very Ramble Christmas, the best of 2014, was unfortunately, through no fault of our own, removed by iTunes from iTunes.
Too sexy. Sexy. Yeah.
We're working on getting it back on iTunes, of course, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the near future, and which we'll keep you posted. But in the meantime, if you do want to buy it, and we would be very grateful if you would to do that, it's £1.79. You can do it through PayPal, and the details are on thefootballramble.com. It's about an hour and 40 minutes, all the best bits of 2014. We very much appreciate a contribution. £1.79 on thefootballramble.com, and we'll let you know when it's back up on iTunes. We're hopeful to get it up there.
But you can still buy it, Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go to the website, and the deets are there. Any more for any more?
Feels like a bumper show this week.
Yeah, it's been long. It's been, I'll tell you exactly how bumper it is. It's around about an hour and a quarter. Chelsea versus Newcastle will be the next Barclays Premier League commentary match on Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio. Russ Williams on Build Up, John and Clive doing the commentary before Wrighty and Stoney return at 5 o'clock. Obviously, Clive Allen climbing into the hot seat in the power vacuum that has ensued after Clark Carlisle. So get well soon, Clark Carlisle.
Yeah, definitely. Wish him all the best.
Absolutely. There we are. If you want to get in touch, the email is show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at footballramble. And get yourselves over to the website, thefootballramble.com, with the aforementioned compilation, which is there to be bought for your lovely ears. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye and Happy New Year, everyone.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Yeah, goodbye. Happy New Year.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Show it in. Happy New Year.
And all agreed from me.
Can I hear from Pete now, please?
When I was in Cubs, I was molested on stage by a vicar. Genuine true story.
Good stuff.
What sort of molesting?
He was showing the rest of the troupe where the lungs were by stroking my naked chest.
That's not a molestation.
Nah, I'm not having that.
That's a molestation.
No, you can't talk about the man in the cloth like that.
If he's having a rummage in your pants, fair enough.
Why did he need to take my top off to show all of the rest of the Cubs my lungs?
Because you always take your top off.
Because you can't see my lungs through the skin.
Is that what triggered it off?
Presumably,
in your nip-nips.
Yeah, exactly.
Presumably, everyone was topless, this being a northeastern childhood.
Why did he show him where the lungs were?
But why are you bringing a vicar in for a biology lesson?
It was the 80s.
Why do they use the good-looking kid who looks like Macaulay Culkin? That's all I'm asking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.